We talked a lot about the cross, obviously, and I forgot to talk about one thing. Originally in Chaldea, the cross was used as a symbol for Tammuz, the resurrection god, which is kind of interesting. And it's because it started with the mystical Tau, the T, or the cross, that's in the Hebrew alphabet. And it's so many years it was before it became an instrument of punishment for hundreds of years. It was a symbol of the resurrection god, Tammuz. Let's just look at something real quickly. Go to Ezekiel 8. This is, you know, this famous for us. We study it all the time. That the Holy Spirit is taking Ezekiel for a little walk, a little stroll, and he takes him inside his mind. But before he goes there, he sees the door. He doesn't want to open it. And when the door finally opens, he sees all of the idols of the house of Israel portrayed in the walls. And he sees 70 men of the ancients. And then he sees Jezaniah, son of Saphon. And so, then he continues to show more.
And he was familiar with all of these, right? Because his father was an idol maker.
No, this is Ezekiel. Anyway, then verse 12. Then he said to me, "Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." And every time something doesn't go the way you think it should, and you don't ever say it, but you believe the Lord hath forsaken the earth. And so you lean on your own arm of understanding to try to correct it instead of waiting. But that's not what we're looking at. Then he said also unto me, "Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do." And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now, the whole issue of Tammuz as the resurrection god came from the stars, the same, but it was a misinterpretation of because their belief system was that Tammuz was resurrected, and then he died again. And he was resurrected, and then he died again. And the only way to get him back was you had to mourn for him. And there were professional mourners in Chaldea and elsewhere that were paid to weep to bring Tammuz, the resurrection god, back from the dead again. And went on and on and on and on. So here now he saw in the temple of God women weeping for Tammuz. And they're weeping for Tammuz because they think that'll bring him back again. But the gospel is he is here now. He's not going to be brought again. Amen? So anyway, that's why the cross was the symbol for this resurrection god, Tammuz. and all of the, you know, in all over Egypt and Greece too, there's these different beasts. The griffin is the most common one. And it has the body of a lion. And what's its head? Anybody remember?
I think it's a dragon.
Huh?
No.
It's the head of an eagle.
Oh, okay.
Body of a lion and the head of an eagle. That's called the griffin. And every time there's a bird or let me back up. When I was in Athens, and we were up at the Parthenon, and the Parthenon is a mind-bending edifice to the Virgin. And there was these griffins all over the place, and I asked one of the people that was there with us, and I said, what is this griffin about? And he said, I don't know. And then there was a guy with a tour. He was taking a tour of people all over the Parthenon. I asked him, I said, what's this griffin all about? I don't know. But the griffin, any time, especially in Greece and in Egypt, when there was something had the head of a bird, it meant that he was spiritualized. But with the head of the lion, the lion's body with the head of a bird, correctly said, the lion of Judah has been spiritualized, but they didn't. They forgot that, because that's, remember, the lion is the last symbol on the start of the book. The reason the Sphinx exists, because it shows where to begin and where to end on the circle of the zodiac. It began at the bird, end at lion. And so the lion with the head of a bird or an eagle meant that, if they saw it correctly, meant that circle of the stars had been completed. But they're the most anti-religious people, or anti-Christian anyway, people in the world. Maybe not in the world, but they're pretty far up there. But anyway, it's the point. We've got hints at the mystery of Christ all over the place. But it's always taken to self in some way, just as it is in Christianity. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, nobody here is doing that, all right?
That's the gospel.
Huh? All right. We were talking. We talked about the word intending to. Well, let's go back to Luke so we can see where we are. Luke 14. We're studying verse 28. For what you are intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And it's in reference to bearing the cross. Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, one of the most interesting words here is cannot be. It doesn't mean that you have to work harder or do something. It means that if you haven't seen your death, because dunamos is, it's cannot, it means, it's in Greek, it's dynamis, dunamai. And it means is not able to, can't happen. Can't take place. It's impossible to take place because your mind has covered up the mystery of Christ. And so you continue on thinking you're in the gospel, but you haven't borne the cross, so you're just kidding yourself. It's not, I used to read that and I'd say, well, that's just a term of discipleship. No, it's a what is. If you don't bear the cross, which means to bear the cross means nothing else is to accept your death and to live by that, he says you cannot be my disciple. Not that you wish it were different it means there's no must, there's no empowerment, it can't happen. So, and B is the word ani, which means to exist or to happen. So it's just because you've covered over the humility of Christ with his name only, not his life. Amen. You see that? All right.
I have a question. On this part, when he's explaining that parable, for which of you intending to build a tower?
Well, that's what we're about to study.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, the word intending is thelo. It means something you desire. And build is the same word for edify. You can't edify. The word edify means to build. It means to build the body of Christ. It's used here as a parable with regard to a tower. Other places it's with regard to a temple. But all of them refer to the mystery of the bride. The bride being built in time and space, which is the womb that creates the bride. Now, you may have decided you're willing to be a believer, but it's always on your terms. And so because of that, you are not building anything. You think you are. You may have started building. That's just what this parable is about. Lest haply after which you be intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish. Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and is not able to finish. So it's the same message as always. We talked about all the hindrances to building this tower or building this bride, and the biggest one was carnality. That's the one that's used as the biggest hindrance. You're still using the hunk of meat. Well, I mean, from my own experience, and this I didn't know this until after I was involved with all of the talks and everything on this radio, most believers that I ever came in contact with believe that salvation is the end. That's the reason. That's the reason Christ died, for salvation. Salvation isn't the end. That's the merest of beginnings. Sanctification is the end. And sanctification comes only by the renewing of your mind, that you end up with the mind of Christ and the mind of Christ only. That's the end of sanctification. That's because you've finally gotten all the pepper out of the salt shaker. But if you're in that position where many are, where it seems impossible to live by faith alone, then you've got to confess it. Not justify it. You've got to say, Father, forgive me, but this is all I know how to do. I hear kind of what's being said, but it seems impossible for me to do it. And you take the lowest seat, and that unspots the garment. The garment is no longer spotted by the flesh because you haven't justified yourself. You've taken the lowest seat.
If I confess that, then I'm not sanctified, am I?
Well, you're not sanctified until your mind is gone anyway. Doesn't matter. I mean, you're not sanctified until you've abandoned yourself.
Well, I'm confessing I cannot live by commandment all the time.
But don't just leave that as the status. Confession means that you desire to. Otherwise, you wouldn't be confessing. If you desire to live by faith, and faith alone, and you confess that you're not, then you're saying to the Father, the faith alone is my goal. But if you don't believe that faith alone is your goal, then you halt sanctification. You halt the renewal of your mind. And so you're not finishing the tower in this parable. Anybody understand this?
This is part of my query. It's not relating to you finishing the work. This is relating to Christ.
No. It's a man building the tower.
What?
Let's read it again. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Do you think Christ is sitting down and counting the cost?
I think that certainly would be the beginning.
No, you have to count the cost.
But you pick up the cross.
And that's the beginning.
And that's the power of God then in you.
Well, not if you use your mind.
I didn't talk about the mind. You brought it up.
If you use your mind, you resurrect the evil one.
So then you use your mind to take this and say, I better count the cost and get my act together, or I'm not going to be okay. So who's doing the work? Here's the dividing line. The work is done by God through you. You pick up the cross.
Then Christ causes you to forsake all things. Christ causes you to accept your death.
Well, you can't have it both ways. You pick up the cross, accept your death. Now you got to do something.
No, now you empty, which is the evidence that you've picked up the cross. You have the mind of Christ.
So it's tautological. It's not a command.
The gospel, the crucifixion is the gospel. And then the resurrection is the hope. But the crucifixion is the death of all of you, not some of you.
Right. So in that death, what can you do?
Well, you wait. You certainly don't resurrect yourself.
Right. You don't do anything.
But you don't think. That's the main problem.
Right. You're dead. So then the life of Christ in you is quickened by God and things happen. This is that dividing line where it's either you're doing something and you got to do something.
You are constantly repenting. That's the constant. It never ends. It's a way of life, not an act.
It's possible that this whole thing about counting the cost is the place where you repent. I mean, I always feel like that's, you know, this thing that Gary wants to say his mind does is always leads up to that place where you repent. And then it is God, but you have to repent first, and that's the...
But to repent, it's not a singular act, it's a way of life.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that counting the cost is what it takes to get you to the place where you repent. That's what I'm saying. You know, that is the thing that the mind can do. Getting to the place where you say, I repent. That is counting the cost. That's what I'm saying.
Well, but it doesn't end with counting the cost that time. It's the counting of the cost constantly.
Every time. But that's because it's always repentance.
Right.
You know, and that's the place where your mind quits. You have no more use for it at the point where you repent. And then it's up to God.
Right, because it's let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That letting is that's why it's one of the two most important words in the Bible, reckon and let. But you can't let that mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, if you continue to use your mind. His mind is empty to the point of a vacuum. If you're letting that mind, then your mind has to equal that. Otherwise, you're going to put God's name on the sinful actions, on the actions without faith. Everybody, I mean, this is the gospel. This is what this parable is about. That's the next one. Oh, that's, wait a minute. Well, no, that's where the hindering this edification, which is you emptying, then he builds. But the thing that hinders it is what we studied yesterday, all of scriptures that hinder. Now there's one more to study, and that's Revelation 3. Starting verse 14. This is the one you don't want the angel of God to show you or to say you're it. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art poor. I mean, thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and blind and naked. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh. Neither hot nor cold. Therefore, you're lukewarm. He's going to spew you out of there. And the reason you think, the reason that lukewarm is possible is you think there's a neutral ground. All right. Let's go on to.
When they're talking about overcoming, what is being overcome?
Your mind. Okay, well, let me put it another way. Your one you overcome is the evil one.
Which is you, which is all of you.
Your mind.
Your mind, your carnality.
Your mind. The rest is not to be tested. You're to settle. The flesh is hopeless. But the evil one has set himself up in that God's temple. The son of perdition, the man of sin, can't be fixed. He can only be dead. to him that overcometh will I give, etc., etc. Go to 1 John. Chapter 2. This is to who he's writing to, and this is not a matter of time or age, or it's a matter of what you've been apprehended by. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children, darling infants is the better word, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven you, but you're still in the world, essentially hiding under the blood of the doorpost. You haven't left the world. Your baptism, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet because you weren't buried in baptism. You haven't wandered around in the wilderness to prove. And let's continue on. It goes from the little child to the father. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. Then I write unto you, young men, which is meaning well, it's you've entered the promised land. I write it to young men because you've overcome the wicked one. The wicked one. Then I write unto you, little children. That little children is paidon, and it means teenagers. I write unto you, teenagers, because you've known the Father. Have known. Now, we got a bunch of people in this community that are still in that position. You have known the Father, but you've crossed into the wilderness. And the Bible study doesn't help. Prayer doesn't help. Talking to people doesn't help. Nothing helps. But the thing, the anchor that will keep you is because you have known the Father. But you're still in the wilderness. I bet I've talked to almost all the teenagers over the years during this period. Then I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Note that it's not in the text. You've known him from the beginning because you have, the real you as Christ was with him at the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And in the text, it's continually. And you have overcome the wicked one.
Yeah, there it is again. Same exact, overcome the wicked one, two verses in a row that directly relate to what we just talked about in Revelation, to him that overcometh.
Then the test of that is the next verse. Love not the world. Love is a verb form, just meaning give importance to nothing in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So he's writing because you've been apprehended, and he says that you have overcome the evil one. You have overcome the evil one. It's you, not Christ. Christ overcame the evil one at the cross. There's no wiggle room here. goes on, little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But now you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, or instead of Christ, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. And you notice that whole section is in italics. First, it was just, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. That which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise, that he hath promised us even eternal life, or life in eternity. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath brought taught you, you shall abide in him. But the anointing doesn't come. It's the same humility that says Christ is not going to occupy where you are. The same humility is expressed in the Holy Spirit. He will not occupy where you are. And so therefore everything is, we think of repentance as something we do as a thing. But it's an expression of a way of life. It should be the rarest thing that you use your mind for anything. And because of that, because it is the default position. The Antichrist is the default position because he raised himself from the dead and he is in all men. Just because you profess Jesus Christ doesn't mean the Antichrist isn't still in control. He's in control of your mind. That's his vehicle. That's his modus operandi. Go to Ephesians 2 real quick, and then we'll quit. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now still worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in our mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, etc., etc. In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Course of this world in Egypt was the survival of the fittest, whether it be mentally or physically. The course of this world in Babylon is cause and effect. And Israel visited both places. We have to come out of both. Come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean thing. we've got to face something. There's no private interpretation of Scripture. And I knew that at the beginning. That's why I searched so hard for a contradiction, so I could throw the whole damn thing out. Think on these things. Or consider it. Take a big gun. Whose people?
The healthcare people. And his phone was okay. He just wasn't answering it. So he said he was too sick to talk. And he couldn't even do that.
Did you get any drink? What's the drink?
Yeah. I got him a 4-pack of it, sure.
Oh, good. That's
he opened that up and went for it. And it was real good. Yeah, I got him crackers. He was eating the crackers.
Oh, that's great.
So
But will we have an opportunity to talk to someone or the healthcare person?
We can talk to that healthcare person. I don't know how broad their authority or knowledge.
Well,
is.
I know, but they have some authority or some
reporting
mechanism.
We can take what they've got.
Well, we need to recommend that he be either at right in his present condition. He's either got to be back in the hospital or in a hospice facility. They're not equipped to deal with it. My opinion.
Yeah, well.
And it's my opinion. I mean, it's the opinion of other people I've talked to.
Yeah, I agree too, because he's just, he's not even well enough to make a call to ask somebody to take him to go get dialyzed.
Well, that was part of the point, was he was going to eat and see if he had enough going on to go ahead and make his calls and get back on track. I mean, he was so sick, they put him out of the hospital too quick, and he would just.
But his swelling is
down and out. The swelling's gone.
Okay, well that's a good sign.
And
yeah.
I was freaked out. I was expecting a big fat leg.
Oh, that's good. That's a good sign.
So.
Well, let's give it another chance then.
I think we just go through this day. The healthcare people come, but in response earlier, I think we need his doctor, and we need for the hemolysis, and get some conversation with those two authorities who have the power to do something. I mean, we can put him in an ambulance, I suppose. But
well, that's not going to, unless the doctors are, they'll just release him again
yeah,
in a couple days.
Yeah, they'll just not take care. So if we can get those numbers.
Well, who has been with him to the doctor?
Me.
But who else in the past? Judy?
Santa.
Josanna and Judy.
I don't know if Judy has, mostly Josanna.
I think Judy did too. But
she
anyway.
Might have gone once, but Josanna spent time down there and hang out with him. And I don't know who talked to the doctor except Tom.
Josanna's problem is she's busy taking care of baby Kai.
Yeah, she just would have
the next month or so. Yeah.
Well, I'm the question that I want to, in which. Which doctor was the one you talked to, you know?
The Indian woman, Sastry or something like that.
If I remember right, she's his primary care doctor.
That's what I believe, because she's the one who called the hospital to make sure that they were ready to admit him when I took him to the hospital last week.
All right. Oh, do you have her number by any chance?
I do not have her number. I'm sure I can find it, even if I don't go to Ronnie, because after all, I know where the DeVita is located. I'll just call him up and say,
think, I'm just, from my perspective, I just think that we need to be ready to do something else.
Yeah, I agree.
If his swelling has gone down that much, and if he ate last night, then those are good signs. But from the last time I saw him, and from what he said, he just wants to die.
I told him, I said, well, you are doing it. When your body stops eating, you're dying. I said, if you want to go ahead and die, go your way. And don't eat, because you don't have an appetite. But if you want to try and live, you better start eating. And when I brought him that age, sure, he popped off. And it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he's doing today.
It will be, and I think this is a key day in all of our conversations and his condition.
If anybody sees the health worker when she comes.
Yeah, we need to talk with her or whoever.
Is she supposed to be here at 11?
Between 11 and 1 is actually what he said.
If you see me, you can call Tom.
I can be in the lair. I've got Tom's phone number.
Great.
That's not a problem.
This is what you want. At 9:30, okay. But otherwise,
this is what you all want me to do?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, let me know. As long as I have a doctor's appointment this morning, but other than that, I'm good to go, and I'll be glad to be the person to be to lead on that. I'll also try to get those contact with DaVita. If somebody can tell them they skipped this dialysis yesterday.
Let's get the number for the chemo plus. I just do an end run, and we'll get the doctor's name too.
See what I can do.
Let's get the number.
Sorry?
I have to call on you?
Yes.
I'll call mine. I want to make sure I've got your phone number. I said I programmed it. I want to make sure that it's been having.
I understand. No problem.
Does anybody else want to open up?
Francisco will.
I'll take the oral.
Okay.
People give him rides, you know, doctor, and emo people. And nobody, we don't have any of those numbers. Nobody sees it.
Yeah.
And so Ronnie is his only connection to it. So.
I don't know. Hoy tenemos cereal caliente hoy.
Steve, but I'm scared. I want to go back to Mexico. If Mexico closed the front, then I can go because I'm scared.
Quieres cereal caliente?
Sí,
hello.
You can't
get it. There's two other things going on. Bye bye.
Eric. My glass just fell apart suddenly. Just dropped off right off her face. So I'll take the other one.
Eric, this may be a bit of information, but I don't know if it impacts where you feel like Ronnie
is. Looks a little like this.
Monday, when I picked him up at St. Paul, took him to CVS to get his meds. He went out to the car to dig and find some stuff. He came back in, got his meds.
Hello.
And then we were walking out the car, and he communicated to me, oh, by the way, I couldn't hold it, and I pooped in my pants. What?
Yeah. Let's not bring that up in here anymore.
All right.